another episode of The Spirit of Haggard. We are continuing with our theme of interns and internships. So we are lucky enough today to have two amazing guests with us who are really nearing the end of their year-long internship journey with Haggard. And so I will introduce to us today our guests, Dr. Helen Brown and Dr. Claire Foster. So Helen, Claire, thank you for joining on The Spirit of Haggard. I am your host, Jody Lynch Findley with Jody Speaks Life, and we are so excited to have you on an episode of The Spirit of Haggard to tell your stories. Welcome.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate being here today.
Yeah, thank you. We're both excited.
Awesome. So we always have to start these episodes with a little bit of a background. So when we talk about where on earth did Dr. Helen Brown come from, we'll start with you just out of alphabetical order, Dr. Brown. And if you will start us off with your journey, where are you from and kind of how you got here?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a little ways from home. I'm originally from California and most of my family is still there. I got the horse bug very, very young. My grandparents had a ranch pretty close to where I grew up, and they actually raised Peruvian Paso horses. So I grew up riding and showing and competing Peruvian Paso horses. From there, I actually went to boarding school, and they had a horse program in California. It was called the Thatcher School. And so I started riding some quarter horses and kind of branching out from Peruvian Pasos. And then I did my undergraduate at Colorado State, where I got a BS in equine science, and kind of knew early on that I chose CSU because I wanted to go into vet school. I didn't have a very linear trajectory to get to vet school. During my vet school time, I actually did the undergraduate internship program that Haggard's has. And I was paired as a technician or an assistant to Dr. Karen Wolfsdorf, who's in our therio department, and did a season working for her in 2015. I then went back to CSU, graduated, finished my degree, and decided to move back to Kentucky. That was time number two. There'll be a few more. And continue working at Haggard's after I graduated. I then applied to vet school. Unfortunately, I didn't get in, but I can't say I was terribly surprised. My grades in undergrad were maybe not what is typical of a incoming class of veterinary students. So from there, I actually got a job in Australia, and I worked as a vet nurse in Australia for a breeding season at one of the Scone Equine Hospitals in Tamworth. And then I moved back to Kentucky, time number three, where I had in-state tuition, and I finished up a few prerequisite courses and worked in a small animal clinic to gain some experience to kind of help round out my application, and applied a second time and got into the University of Florida. And then go Gators, have to say that for Dr. Walpler and I. and then did my 4 years at the University of Florida, but always stayed very close with Dr. Wolfsdorf and the Haggard family. And so Claire and I, or Dr. Foster and I, actually did our externships at the same time when we came back to Haggard's and met, what was that, almost 2 years ago now. We both knew we wanted to come back. We've had a long history with Haggard's, and now we're both intermates together, and we're fingers crossed hoping to stay at Haggard's and become field associates.
Okay. My goodness. All right. There's so many. I don't know if I took enough notes. That was kind of like, we got it all.
Yeah, sorry. It was like a speed round through my life.
Right. That we got it all. We got it all. We're going to break down some of those pieces and parts, Dr. Brown. Dr. Foster, where did you start? Where did you come from?
I'm originally from Mississippi, North Mississippi. I do not have the accent that most people would expect with a Mississippian. I try very hard not to. But I grew up in Mississippi. I knew from a very, very early age I wanted to be a veterinarian. There was an instance with a pony when I was 4 years old that we had to call the vet out, and my mom vividly remembers me having a stethoscope at four and turning to her and saying, "This is what I want to do for the rest of my life." And My mom was a very strong and still is a very strong woman. She raised me as a single mother. And she said, okay, 4 years old, we're going to be a veterinarian. And I'm very blessed that in Mississippi, we do have a vet school. And they are very open to receiving the public and teaching the general public about veterinary medicine. They have open houses and vet camps and all those sorts of really fun things that are geared towards kids. So my mom made sure that every single year I was at Mississippi State and we were having meetings with the different clinicians when I was 12. And like, she put my face in front of everyone. She is amazing. So I have always known I wanted to be a veterinarian. I have always been interested in horses and thought that I wanted to be an equine veterinarian. But in Mississippi, though there are many horses, it is not a very strong veterinary medicine area, I would say. You know, it's a lot of like pasture horses that there's just not a lot of great opportunity to be a equine sole veterinarian in Mississippi. If you want to do horses, you're pretty much going to be mixed animal. So I actually read a book called Equine ER about some veterinarians in Lexington. And I was 12 and I said, Mom, I want to go to Lexington. And she said, okay, we're going to go to Lexington. And I kept that mentality all through my high school and undergrad. My approach was a bit different from everyone I've talked to getting into vet school. Mississippi State has an early entry program. So basically, I was one of over 100 applicants for 25 seats for seniors in high schools to be accepted to vet school. So I was accepted into that, and I had several areas that I had to maintain while in undergrad to keep that seat, including like various different prerequisite curriculum, grade point averages, as well as a lot of hours shadowing at vet clinics and stuff like that. So I maintained that. I did my prerequisite undergrad hours in 2.5 years and had a gap semester where I, on a whim, applied to several different clinics to work during my gap semester, and Haggard was the only clinic that accepted me. And I was lucky enough to be paired up as Dr. Luke Fallon's technician for the spring season of 2019, and really took that time to decide, okay, can I be an equine veterinarian? Is it feasible to have a career in this industry? And will I enjoy it enough to want to do that? That was my first exposure to thoroughbreds. Like, I knew nothing about thoroughbreds, much less racing thoroughbreds. And I fell in love, loved every minute of it, cried when I had to go back home, even though I was starting vet school. So did my 4 years at Mississippi State, kept in contact with the Haggard team, and especially Dr. Fallon, who was a great, great mentor for me all through my vet school time. And then met Helen during an externship, like she mentioned. And I remember looking at her in the garage in front of several different doctors. And I said, okay, are you ready to be intern mates? And she just laughed. But lo and behold, here we are as intern mates. And I count her as one of my really, really good friends. And I'm thankful for the opportunity that we have here and look forward to a future at Haggard.
That is awesome. I mean, what an incredible story. Again, you know, so many of those kind of serendipitous moments. And here you are. Now, I really did, Dr. Foster, think you were about to say, and here we are as guests together on the Spirit of Haggard.
That would have been a great line.
I should have.
Right. A missed opportunity, but I had to fill it in there for you.
Let's pause for just a minute to hear from our friends at ByMeta, our Spirit of Haggard podcast sponsor.
ByMeta might just be the largest animal health company you have never heard of until now. ByMeta Animal Health's equine products have been trusted by veterinarians and horse owners since the 1960s, where our Irish roots began. ByMeta is one of the largest producers of dewormers for horses like Equimax, Bimectin, Duramectin, and Exodus. World-renowned equine athletes rely on polyglycan, a patented formula designed to replace lost or damaged synovial fluid, and Confidence Eck 1% pheromone gel that reduces and prevents equine stress, to name a few of our branded products. We encourage you to consult with your equine veterinarian before using any equine products for your horse. Also, please visit buymetaus.com to learn more about our full product offerings and where you can buy them.
So there's lots to really look back on. And I mean, I do have to say, what an incredible accomplishment to have gotten that early entry program. So you were essentially set up for your vet school trajectory in your senior year of high school, right? Like that.
Correct.
Yep. Which is new. There are a couple programs, I think, out there that are starting to, you know, look at it that way as we seek to engage with a younger enthusiast in the equine industry, is really how I would say that. If we've got young people who are interested in pursuing these careers in and around equine veterinary medicine, we want to engage with them, whether that's at the high school, undergraduate. Now we've got some middle school programs going on. I think it's one of the greatest ways that we can also combat some of the negativity around equine veterinary medicine, because I'll ask you both this question. Have you faced any discouragement or negativity in pursuing a career in equine vet med?
100%.
Absolutely. Unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately is right. So I'll let you start, Dr. Foster. Explain that, because again, we have so many of our listeners that are interested in these careers. And so they're hungry to hear from you. If there's someone listening who's an undergraduate right now facing negativity and discouragement, you are literally only a few years beyond them, and you now have DVM behind your name, and you are pursuing a career in equine veterinary medicine. So let's talk a little bit about the negativity or discouragement that you've experienced.
I mean, for me, the discouragement always came down to, you're not going to get paid enough for the amount of hours you work. And for me, that never really mattered, because this was my dream job and I knew that I would be happy with the job that I was doing. But that was always the number one response. Even, you know, all through undergrad, through vet school, my graduation day, I had a classmate that said, "You are so brave to be an equine veterinarian. I could never work those hours for that little amount of pay." And it hit me like, oh my gosh, I have just announced in front of all my friends and family, classmates, their family, what I want to do with my life. And I still am receiving discouragement for the choices that I've decided to make with my life. And yes, it is long hours, but when you pick a job that you love, the hours don't matter. I mean, in the moment, you're tired and it does matter a little bit. But when I look back on nearly my first year completed as a veterinarian, I don't regret the choices I've made to get to where I've gotten today. You know, I don't regret the career path I've chosen or where I've chosen my career path to be. I feel very fulfilled in my career. And all I can say is the discouragement that you listeners might receive, you just have to ignore what they're saying, because everyone has a reason why they're saying that, but it doesn't have to apply to you. You know, you have to trust your gut with what you want to do and put your mind to it and say, I can do what I want to do, and I will do it to the best of my ability. So my mom always said to me is, if you do things to the best of your ability, that's the best you can do.
Yes.
So that's the mentality I keep.
Well, and I appreciate that. And I also just have to ask, now that you have been out and you're experiencing equine veterinary medicine, is that not the reality? Because I believe that you're being now exposed to a lot of people that they do work long hours, but they have a very rewarding and meaningful and financially stable life. And so it really just depends on who you surround yourself with, how you build this life, the choices you make of, you know, how you proceed with your career. And so I often tend to believe that the negativity is coming from folks that aren't living it.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, everyone up here is living a very comfortable life as an equine veterinarian. And they're all very happy with the career choices that they've made. And I count myself lucky and happy to include myself in that sector as well.
Yeah, awesome. Dr. Brown, anything to add for you? You were kind of indicating that, yes, you've experienced some negativity and discouragement as well. What's your side of the story?
I mean, I feel like pretty much the majority of discouragement I got was actually from other equine veterinarians, shadowing them, doing things that you would be at a tough call and they'd be like, you sure this is what you want to do? And every time I'd come back, yes, I'm absolutely positive. Like there's really nothing else I could imagine my life doing. And I spent 30 years to get to where I am today. So it really, it's kind of what Claire said is like, we love what we do. We couldn't imagine doing anything else in our lives. And yes, we're still in the early like twilight years of our career where everything's new and shiny and we're just excited to be here still. But I think you do have to, like when you're considering internships and jobs and career paths, you do have to look at like the mentorship, the on-call schedules. What are they doing to help you have a life outside of work? So those are all things to consider when you're making those life, like when you're making those decisions. It's easy to just be like, oh, an internship is 1 year of my life. Like anyone can do something for 1 year, but it's a very big year in your life, as Dr. Yeah. Foster and I attest to. It's a very like you are made into the doctor you can become in your internship year. I think Haggard's has done quite a bit to help us young veterinarians with our emergency service. They don't have us on call all the time. Like we try and do every other day. There's a group of us on call during the off season, where like when we're not on call, we're encouraged to take those days fully off and not participate in any calls, things along those lines. It's a little bit more difficult in the breeding and foaling season to take time off just because of the demands that are the breeding and foaling season. But I think at least Dr. Foster and I, we've been through several Kentucky breeding seasons already, and we kind of knew what we were getting ourselves into and we're prepared for it and excited for it. And I think it's just, you have to have a certain amount of tenacity to look those people who tell you, no, don't do it, in the face and be like, watch me. You know? Yeah. Like, okay, I'm going to take your no and use it in my favor. And it is also hard. I feel like there's honestly quite a few students that go into vet school thinking that they're going to do large animal, equine, or mixed animal. And then they get into the thick of it and they hear the salaries that their small animal companions are making, the work-life balance. So I'm only going to work 4 days a week and make X amount of money. But it's really at the end of the day, is that going to fulfill you? Like you spent your whole childhood being wanting to be an equine veterinarian, and at the last minute you changed for something like a monetary reason. I encourage those people who are on the fence to at least give equine a try. And if it truly does not fit your lifestyle, if it truly is just not for you, you've had 1 year of your life. We spent 8 in school, you know, when the ratio, you look at it, that would be my like number one recommendation, is have an open mind about equine. And I do think that a lot of the salary numbers in equine were outdated and they're now getting updated and they're coming around to where the small animal and companion animal numbers are. So it's not a dreary black hole that there's no upward trajectory or anything like that, that it's made out to look like. There's definitely, like Claire or Dr. Foster said, there is a way to make a living for yourself and have a very comfortable life and enjoy your life.
Yeah, so well said. And you're right. You know, we continue to see the data that comes from AAEP and AVMA that speaks to the increase in compensation and salaries, the decrease in the wage gap, those kinds of things. So we know it is occurring. And I just continue to say the future is so very bright. And while you may come out as a small animal veterinarian and make more money initially, we know that in the long run, the quality of life, the fulfillment, the balance, all of those things on equine is as good, if not better, after, you know, those first few years where you're really kind of coming out and establishing yourself. Dr. Brown, I had to write down your quote that you are made into the doctor you're going to become in your intern year. I that was worth repeating. And I just thought that was really powerful to say. So, I mean, like, as we talk about your internship, my question, how hard is this? Like, it's a hard year, right? It's a hard year, ladies. So. Yeah,
we don't want to make it all gloom and doom, but there are days that are going to be so much harder than others. And when you choose to do an internship in a place like Kentucky, your breeding season days are going to kind of meld together. But it's honestly, it's worth it because we see such a large volume that there's things that I've already seen in my internship that are like zebras that some doctors see once in their career. And we get, it is such a hands-on internship that like Dr. Foster and I were on the phone earlier this week talking about how we feel like we're like young associates. We get it. Like we're going to our own calls. We're treating our own horses. Like, yes, we have so much backup that I can call and be like, hey, what do you think about this blood work? I just saw this horse on emergency. Like, this was my plan. What do you think? And we can call any doctor at Haggard's and get their opinion. And so having that backup is really, really beneficial. But it's kind of a standard for equine industry people or people going into equine vet med to do an internship. I think there's a lot more people going into private practice, but I think there's something to be said about the mentorship, the hands-on learning opportunities, and just the volume of horses you can see in an internship and the different aspects. So we rotate through medicine and surgery and sport horse, just the well-roundedness of a doctor that comes out of an internship, I think is highly worthwhile in pursuing one.
Yeah, love it. Okay, Dr. Foster, your words of wisdom on the internship year, how hard is this?
I have to just echo Dr. Brown. I mean, some days are definitely harder than others. And during the breeding season, you can get bogged down pretty easily, but it never fails that there's at least one time in my day, whether it's I'm doing a Caslix on a mare and the sun is shining bright and there's a nice breeze coming through this beautiful barn. And I kind of just have to sit and take a minute of, oh my gosh, look at where I am. Look at all that I've accomplished. I'm at my dream job. It's a beautiful day out. You know, what more could I ask for? And then, of course, you have the day that follows up where it's like rainy and gloomy, and you're like, I can't believe I work outside in the cold and the rain. But, you know, I, like Helen said, I had already done a breeding season here, so I knew what I was getting into and what was expected of me. And this internship has far exceeded my expectations. I mean, even within the first handful of weeks, I was seeing and treating so many things that I didn't anticipate. My very first colic was a mesenteric rent, and I nearly lost my mind. But that case, just in my first week as a doctor, taught me so much. And there are people that they, you know, it took weeks before they managed a mesenteric rent. And, you know, I had a ton of help and plenty of backup. And now when I see one of those in the field, I know exactly what I need to do. And that is immediately refer, needs to go to surgery. But yeah, I mean, to answer your question, there are long, hard days, but you have to find those bright moments in the day that remind you, this is my dream job and I've accomplished it. And I am a good doctor and I'm doing what I'm supposed to and people trust me and I have my own clients and I am doing exactly what I set out to do when I was 4 or 7 or 13.
4 years old, right?
You know, I am doing the thing.
That's fantastic. And, you know, again, it's those connections along the way, the camaraderie. You know, Dr. Brown, you said the word family. Dr. Foster, the word team. You've both said the word mentors, and you've both mentioned pretty powerful mentors. So let's talk about this. I mean, so you've spent time, a season with Dr. Luke Fallon, Dr. Karen Wolfsdorf. Again, those names need no introduction in our world. So talk about the importance of mentorship and that side of it. You know, maybe you had some mentorship, obviously, in your undergraduate career through vet school, but let's really dig down on the importance of that and what advice you all might share, given the experiences that you've had with mentorship and kind of a shout out to those champions for you. Dr. Brown, will you start us off on the mentorship topic?
Absolutely. So there's no question that Dr. Wolfsdorf is, I call her my Kentucky mom. I worked for her as an assistant for 2 seasons. She took me into her home and I lived with her and her family for a while I was applying to vet school.
Now there's an experience.
Yeah. She helped me get my position in Australia when I didn't get into vet school. And she also was a huge champion of me even applying to the University of Florida, because that was her alma mater for vet school. And now she's part of my mentor team. So in our internship, we're given a mentor group. She's my palping mentor. So I do spend every single day with her and her husband at their farm palping mares. And then I do a lot of her backup at different farms. And then I also have Dr. Caitlin Fletcher as one of my mentors. We've known each other now for 9 years. And like, I saw her at the beginning and where she is now. She just right? had a baby and she's yeah, a family now. But it really, I cannot stress enough to really nurture those people who will champion you. And like, don't be afraid to ask for help. Dr. Wolfsdorf has been a huge, huge key in my success in getting to where I am today and coming back to Haggard's. I would not have had nearly the opportunities that I've had if I hadn't originally met her. But it also is, it is such a small community. It's very important to not burn bridges and to really take advantage. Like if you're at AEP and you went and saw a talk and you loved it, or that's a person that or practice that you want to go to, walk up to them, shake their hand, introduce yourself, and then like send them an email after being like, hey, I'd love to visit your practice. I guarantee you they will make it happen for you. It's such a small community, just the equine community and then the equine vet community. It's all about making those connections and taking advantage of those connections when they are offered to you.
Such incredible advice, Dr. Brown. And you are just making my heart sing. The word connections gets me so excited. But you mentioned a really important word, and that was to nurture those relationships. And I think that that's really what we want, especially, you know, our younger listeners to understand, is that those relationships matter. The relationships that you are creating with people who are 10 plus years ahead of you, doing things you're interested in doing, and making sure that you are memorable to them. And, you know, like no doubt that probably Dr. Wolfsdorf wrote one of your recommendation letters in order for you to get in at UF.
Well, she sure did.
You know, so that you have to have personal connections with people to get phone calls made, doors open, recommendation letters written. And so just such great advice from you for how that works along the way and how that continues to show up in our journey. I do love that you said, you know, and encourage people, walk up after these talks. You know, if you recognize someone that you want to meet, you don't know, go shake a hand, say hello. It feels awkward and that's okay. Get comfortable doing things that make you uncomfortable, right? So really good advice, Dr. Brown.
Let's take a quick break to recognize our Spirit of Haggard podcast sponsor, Bimeda.
Bimeda might be the biggest animal health company you've never heard of until now. Bimeda's products have been trusted by veterinarians and owners since the 1960s when our Irish roots began. Bimeda is one of the largest producers of dewormers like Equimax, Bimectin, and Exodus. World-renowned equine athletes also rely on Polyglycan, a patented formula that replaces lost or damaged synovial fluid in Confidence X pheromone gel, which reduces and prevents equine stress. Consult your vet and visit bimedaus.com to see where to buy.
Dr. Foster, how about you? Let's talk about mentorship. I mean, you threw a little name around with Dr. Fallon, so let's talk about some of your experiences.
Yeah. So when I think about where I've gotten in my career, I had probably, I would say, 4 mentors that really helped me. And 3 of those mentors were at my home clinic in Mississippi that I started working at 15. Helen will find this funny, but when I was 15, I was very, very shy. I did not put myself out there. I, you know, didn't have a lot of friends. And that's completely the opposite person that I am today. But when I was 15, I went to my home clinic, Willow Bend Animal Clinic in Holly Springs, Mississippi. And I said, I have a permit. So I technically can't drive to work, but I live 8 minutes away and I will drive to work. And I want to shadow here and I want to see what you do. And Dr. David Childers and Dr. Mike Thompson owned the clinic at that time. And they said, sure, come on in, let's go. And I thought I would predominantly be shadowing them. In my very first day, I was thrown into a dog's bay, not even knowing what was taken out in a dog's bay with Dr. Davis Hunt, who is an associate veterinarian at Willow Bend Animal Clinic. And between those three men, they fostered such a love for veterinary medicine and made it real and tangible and said, if you want this, you work hard for it. And I'll tell you, Dr. Davis Hunt, he made me realize that I got to work hard to get to where I want to be. You know, it's not giggles and sunshine all the time. You have to work hard to get to where you want to be. And he really pushed me a lot. And Dr. Childers did the same thing. Dr. Thompson did the same thing. They wrote recommendation letters and took a red pen to my application with the early entry program and, you know, called me out on spelling mistakes and all that. And Dr. Thompson, he was the president of the Society for Theriogenology in 2016. And he really fostered my love for just basic theriogenology and reproduction, specifically with horses. And, you know, he kind of took me under his wing and said, I have not had someone that has enjoyed this as much as you, and I'll help you and see and do anything you want to do in high school and undergrad. So I credit those three men for getting me to vet school and encouraging me to become the veterinarian that I am today.
That's incredible. Shout out to Willow Bend. Is that the right? Is that the name, Willow Bend Animal Clinic?
Willow Bend Animal Clinic. And then we've all talked about Dr. Fallon. I mean, he needs absolutely no introduction. He is truly one of the kindest and most gentle souls I've ever met. And I find myself lucky to have gotten to work with him so closely while I was in undergrad. And now to get to work with him every day as an intern, you know, he is just phenomenal with every person he comes in contact to. I can't say enough good things about him. I mean, he is just one of the best and most genuine people you'll ever meet. And his teaching style is so, so good, especially for how I learn. I feel like I am so far ahead in my palping skills than I ever anticipated being at this stage. He went out of town a couple weeks ago and I had the opportunity to palp at by myself at the farm that I palp with him at every day. And I went a little rogue and sent three mares to the shed and two came up pregnant. And then I checked one at 14 days and she had a twin and I went rogue again and pinched it. And he came back that Monday and was like, wow, everything's taken care of, it seems like. But yeah, between those four men, I mean, wow, when I look back at my journey to be a veterinarian, those four names are the immediate pop-ups from a small mixed animal practice that is thriving in North Mississippi to one of the oldest and best equine clinics in North America. I mean, wow, how lucky am I, you know, to have been blessed with such amazing mentors throughout my career so far.
Wow. Yeah. So what a testament, you know, to the power of, you know, others pouring into us and to be able to appreciate that back and that you know, like you're both recognizing that it's really incredible. So thanks for sharing. And we want to give that shout out to all the mentors, right? So to those four men in your life, Dr. Foster and to Dr. Wolfsdorf and the others, Dr. Brown, it's so important that we let those folks know how impactful that is. And then also to our younger listeners, go find these champions because they're out here. you know, we are ready to encourage you and to bring you into the fold. And so those experiences can happen if you're ready to work for it. I use the word grit. Dr. Brown, I think you said the word tenacity. So we're looking for your tenacity, and you can do this thing out here. So that's incredible. Okay, ladies, so let's talk a little bit about the actual experience of choosing your internship. Now, for both of you, it sounds like this was written. You knew what you wanted to do and where you wanted to be and how you were going to do it. Was there ever any question that you were going to do an internship year?
No, I knew I wanted to do an internship year. I was in a little bit of denial of where I was going to go. So I did 8 or 9 externships and applied to 3 internships. And in the end, ended on Haggard's. Okay. But it can be a stressful process, but we can talk about that in a minute. We can let Dr. Foster answer the question too.
Yeah, and I do want to know, you know, I think the externship experience is important as well, Dr. Brown. And so you said you did 8 or 9 of those. So tell us a little bit about that process. Did you know what part of the country you wanted to be in? Was there a particular choice that you wanted to make about where you did externships and why in order to lead you to the right internship?
You know, I probably did a few too many when I look back on it. I probably should have taken a few of those 2 weeks as just actual vacation. But there was really not a whole lot of location specificity. I did externships in California, Texas, Oklahoma, Florida, Kentucky, North Carolina, trying to remember if there was anywhere else, but kind of ran a gamut of different practices. I did several in California, and I was kind of looking to see if there was a practice that I thought would fit my needs closer to home, because I've been away from California and my family for quite some time. I went to a few practices in Texas that were highly recommended to me and focused mostly on reproduction, because that was my kind of area that I was looking to spend the most time in. And then I also did, I went to a few other practices to kind of also just round out my experience. Felt like my lameness experience maybe wasn't quite up to par. So I went to some lameness focused and surgery focused externships. And I went to smaller clinics, bigger clinics, rotating internships, or like places that focused on rotating internships and places that were just field internships and things along those lines. And when it came down to it, I kind of had a list of criteria I wanted for myself to look at their internships. And I did go to only places that offered internships, because I knew I wanted to do an internship. And I kind of went over what their doctor to intern ratio was, what their rotation schedule was, how much time you spent in anesthesia, medicine, surgery, the field, repro, and then they're also their on-call schedule, their location, and kind of their emphasis in reproduction. And when it came down to it, I felt like Haggard's was the best fit for me, and that there was a bigger emphasis on reproduction, and it was mostly field-based, which is what I was particularly looking for. And so that's kind of how I made my decision to come back and stay at Haggard's. But the application is not like it is in Match and small animal or for residencies or internship. There's really no like set date your applications are due. It's kind of recommended to submit your application kind of as soon as you leave the practice, so you're a little fresh in their mind, or at the latest kind of the end of summer of your third year, because they are technically due in October, I believe. And then there's no set date that practices will get back to you with a job offer. Like, it's not just a wide open yes, yes, no, no, like we've offered you this. It's offer might come while you're still doing your externship. An offer might come 3 weeks before the due date of the application, or it might come 4 weeks after. And that part can be a little bit stressful when maybe you've heard from your third choice internship, but not your first choice internship. So what do you do? Do I say yes and not? Like, and say no, like, what if I do get my first choice? So it can be pretty nerve-wracking to to call up your first choice and be like, hey, look, I have an offer. You are my first choice. Are you looking like you're going to make me an offer or not? Yeah. If not, totally understand. I'm going to go with this other offer that I have, you know, and yeah. That can be a really hard process and a stressful process.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Not only did you go through the stress of, can I get into vet school and where do I get into vet school? And then you have to go through that process again with an internship. Really well explained, Dr. Brown. Thank you for sharing that, because I think that's a really impactful experience of how to go into externship opportunities, what you're looking for, and what that means to you moving forward in your career. So really, really great advice. Thank you. Dr. Foster, let's jump over to you and talk a little bit about that. You knew you were going to do an internship, but what did that look like leading up to where you are now?
Yeah, so I knew within my first or second year of school that I wanted to do an internship solely because I wanted the mentorship, like we've talked about briefly, of when I have a problem, there is someone that I know is going to answer the phone and give me the support that I need. I also wanted the crazy repetition of cases, like Dr. Brown has mentioned earlier, as well as the kind of zebra cases that you only get to see every once in a while in your career. I knew that anywhere I went in my internship, I would get that solely because a lot of the places that have internships are bigger practices that are getting a lot, a huge caseload. I did 14 weeks worth of externships documented in my fourth year. That doesn't count every break or long weekend that I had during my entire 4 years of school. I was either working at home or coming up here to Lexington or going to another practice somewhere else. My mom laughs, and the only break that I took in school was when I had to be hospitalized briefly. I was always going somewhere and trying to meet people and figure out what I was going to do after I finished my fourth year. But I kind of did like Helen, and all of the practices I went to except for one offered an internship. And, you know, I was very bold in my externships and kind of let them know up front, here's the things that I feel comfortable doing that I've worked really hard during my third and fourth year of clinics at Mississippi State to get good at. So let me do those things so I can show you that I'm good at them. Here's the things that I struggle on and I want to use your externship to get better at and get more experience in. And here's what I want in the future as far as an internship. What does that look like? You know, and those clinics took me very seriously, and I learned so much at each one of those clinics during those 14 weeks. And by the end of it, I had three clinics that I had settled on and that I applied to, and they all offered me an internship. And between the three of them, my number one criteria was mentorship. And then the other things that followed, you know, pay, housing, how much I was going to be in hospital versus in the field, how much repro was there, all of those things. I kind of had a list of what was more important than others. But mentorship was always the top of the list. And I knew that at each of these three clinics, I would get the mentorship that I needed because I had specifically picked them out of so many weeks of traveling from Texas to North Carolina. And when it came down to it, I knew that at Hagard, not simply because of the fact that I had relationships already established there, but simply the way that their internship program is set up and the way that they treated me as an extern, even doctors that I hadn't met before, I knew, yes, there's Dr. Fallon. Yes, there's Sydney Hughes, who I've worked with before, and these other doctors that know my face. But there are doctors here who don't know me, and they are already taking an investment in me during my externship to make sure I have a good externship. That's only going to carry over into the internship, you know? So it was a very tough decision, I'll be honest. Everyone just assumed that I would choose Hagard, but I took about a week and a half once I got all of those offers and really sat down and listed out exactly what I liked and disliked about each place. And Hagard was the one that matched nearly perfectly exactly what I wanted in an internship. And like I said earlier, it has far exceeded my expectations.
And by that time, you and Dr. Brown have both decided, hey, we got to be intern mates.
Yes, right? He was a factor.
That was the final tick in the pro column.
Yeah. Right. The cherry on top was already there. Yeah. So what advice would you have to young people who are really at the very beginning of this journey? They've got an interest, they're in undergrad and they want to go to vet school. What advice do you have or thoughts that you would want to share?
I think for me, it would be, don't take no for an answer. I was told no quite a few times and still ended up here. And really, don't be afraid to jump in headfirst to an opportunity that terrifies you. I moved to Australia not knowing anyone, and it was some of the best times I've had in my life, and I learned so much going there. So when an opportunity comes your way, don't be afraid to seize it. And if someone tells you no, there's always a way around it.
Good advice. Dr. Foster, how about you? What do you have?
I would say don't afraid to be bold and put yourself out there. Like I mentioned, at 15, I was terrified to walk into that vet clinic and tell those three men that I wanted to work for them and wanted to learn as much as I could. But as I got older and got more confidence, I realized that having a bit of boldness can take you pretty far. People take you a bit seriously when you kind of outright say, like, this is what I want for my future and this is how I plan to achieve it. And I'm not going to let anyone deter me from that path and that decision. And, you know, people really start taking you seriously and they say, oh, okay, well, this is not someone that we're going to be able to convince to go to small animal. I had someone in vet school say that. They were like, man, you would make such a good small animal vet, but we know we cannot convince you to get away from those horses. And I was like, no, absolutely. Right? So having a bit of boldness while also, you know, being humble, obviously you don't want to be cocky, but having a little boldness to say, this is what I want and this is how I'm going to achieve it. And this is how I would like you to help me if you can. And this, you know, I appreciate every opportunity that you've given me, like just keeping the connections that you put yourself out there and achieve.
Yeah. So good. You've talked about such important principles to be bold and tenacious. Ask for help. Both of you have mentioned asking for help. Be willing to do the work, but ask for help. And I think that those are just the messages that we want to share with our audience as we continue to encourage people to pursue this incredible career. And last but not least, we want them to come visit you at Haggard. Right. So if you have not made a visit, let's get you on the books and get you in for a tour and come see Drs. Brown and Foster. Come see the Haggard campus and visit Lexington, Kentucky. Find out what it's all about and find out why these amazing young baby doctors, right? Baby doctors, you're almost done with baby doctor year. But these two phenomenal veterinarians are thriving in their internship year. And obviously just uber competent young veterinarians who are ready to change the world. And so, ladies, this has been fun. Anything final that you want to share before we wrap up this episode of The Spirit of Haggard?
I think we've covered just about all of it. I think kind of the summary of Dr. Foster and I is don't take no for an answer. Keep your head down, work hard. Somehow it all works out in the end and you will get to where you want to be. And hopefully where you want to be is Lexington, Kentucky.
I am a big believer of when one door shuts, another one opens, and it ends up being the better door. Even now, stuff like that is still happening to me. And I'm like, wow, something is happening to make sure that I am where I need to be. And I just have to trust the process and, like Helen said, keep my head down, keep working hard, and keep making sure that I foster the connections that I'm making early on in my career.
Awesome. Well, ladies, I know that you have work to do and sleep to try to get from time to time, And so I can't thank you enough for joining us for this episode of The Spirit of Haggard to share your experiences of your internship year. You have both brought so much energy and your rich experiences to share with our audience, and we appreciate that. So with that, listeners, we will see you back for the next episode of The Spirit of Haggard. Please go leave us a rating and review and share it with your friends. Cheers.
Thanks for tuning in to the Spirit of Haggard podcast today, sponsored by ByMeta. I'm your host, Jody Lynch Findlay, speaker and podcaster. You can connect with me at jodyspeakslife.com.